Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Today on the radio show, let's see. It's Tuesday, and that means Fish on Friday on Tuesday. We'll talk to Fishman in the second hour. Chris Harrington straight up 10 o'clock. Second hour is booked. First hour is Jeffrey and me. Me? Jeffrey and me. Yeah.
Jeffrey and I? Because
it's... Darn it. Yeah. Is Jeffrey?
Passive verb. Yep.
No, is I?
Is I. Yes. Because it's is. Not an action verb.
God. That MUS all education kicking in. I'm a public school kid, so I'm just catching up.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's us. I made it as a hard scrabble kid from Buffalo, New York. Public school kid from Buffalo, New York. Plucked out of the mean streets to try to find my way without the benefit of your educational background.
Of course.
And I forged ahead as best I could. Anyway, first hour, it's just the two of us. How's that?
Yes.
First hour is just the two of us talking about.
Preposition takes the objective case.
Of course it does. It always does. It would take it wherever it wants.
Of course.
And Chris Harrington joins us at 10 o'clock. And then Fish on Friday on Tuesday after that. He's another public school kid, Palmetto High, I think. We do have a lot to discuss. We got, first of all, the National Guard.
Hmm.
The National Guard's leaving. Did you hear that?
Okay. So I saw the news in the early word. I didn't know
they're not leaving yet. It's not like, what is it? Hey,
goodbye.
Na, 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 na. Hey. No, they're not leaving yet. What happened was there is a judge over there in Nashville, Davidson County Chancellor Patricia Muskell. This according to the piece by Sam Hardiman in the Daily Memphian. News never sleeps, man. Poor Sam. Sam's got to be checking, every 15 minutes to see when this decision drops, right? And
yep.
And it just, whatever, it's her own timeline. They don't say, hey, we're going to be releasing this. Maybe it's like an Andy Grizzlies injury report. It just drops when it drops. There's no warning when it's going to drop. So at like 7 o'clock last night, you got the news that that she did issue an injunction halting the Tennessee National Guard's deployment to Memphis. However, that ruling is stayed at the present. Meaning she has paused the ruling. Pause would be another way to put it, people. And the state has up to 5 business days to appeal, and everybody thinks they will appeal, and that maybe they have already. Then the appeal will be set for Thanksgiving week, next week. That's next week, right, already?
Yep.
Thanksgiving week, next week. And so then we'll have a second decision to see if this injunction is really going to hold. None of this is, by the way, what happened was, is a bunch of folks, including the county mayor, but not our city mayor, sued saying that the governor does not have authority to deploy the National Guard to Memphis in these circumstances, right? That was that. That's the argument. And that Bill Lee is misusing his powers, and that does not, the deployment does not fit the scope of circumstances under which he's allowed to deploy the National Guard. Here's some of the language from her ruling. Applying the foregoing principles of statutory construction, that's what we do as lawyers, the court finds that neither grave emergency nor disaster, in other words, you can deploy the Guard for grave emergencies or disasters, but neither one can fairly be construed to include ongoing criminal activity, which is plainly a law enforcement concern and is not the type of emergency that would warrant the activation and employment of the National Guard members who are not trained law enforcement personnel, she wrote. This conclusion is bolstered by the fact that the National Guard members, who have been specially deputized by the U.S. Marshals Service, are limited to supporting the law enforcement activities of other federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies, and they have no authority to engage in law enforcement activities such as arrests or seizures. So that's what she's concluded. But here's the thing. All she is doing is, when you ask for an injunction, you want something to be temporarily stopped. Like the University of Memphis once got an injunction that allowed James Wiseman to play, right? You remember that?
How could I forget?
Very clearly remember that? And the standard for getting injunction, again, that decision, that the way Wiseman thing wasn't decided completely. It's just like, oh my God, are we gonna issue something until we can get to a final argument and a final decision, disposition of the case that'll make sure no damage is done in the meantime. And if you're a judge, what you have to balance is the likelihood that the folks asking for the injunction are gonna ultimately succeed.
Right.
And the damage that will be done in the meantime, right? So, for example, if I'm trying to enjoin someone from knocking down 495 Union, the old commercial appeal building,
yep,
right?
Enjoin means stop.
Okay. I'm trying to stop them from doing it. Get an injunction. I'm trying to get an injunction because I'm suing so they don't knock down 495 Union, which,
yep,
by the way, they're about to do. So, and I do it on two grounds. I say, I need this injunction because if I don't get it, by the time we finish this case, the damn building's going to be
right.
It'll already be done.
Yeah, right.
So then you say, okay, well, there's irreparable damage being done here. You can get the injunction. But then they look at the, and why, wait, what's the case about anyway? And I'm filing because I used to work there and it makes me unhappy.
Right. I'm sad.
And then they say, no, you're not going to win that case. So knock down the thing. They balance those two things,
right?
Like if there was some, and so here, that's what she's doing. She's balancing the likelihood of the success on the merits that the people suing Bill Lee will ultimately succeed against the damage that's being done in the meantime. And she said, yep, you can have an injunction. But weirdly enough, she then paused the injunction for an appeal of the injunction. So who knows? Here's the thing. Can we agree on this? Whatever you think of the broader work of the task force, and I have heard strong opinions on either side, and I have my own opinion. And of all the folks being deployed here, right? The Drug Enforcement Agency and the state troopers and whatever else. The truth is, the work of the National Guard is, from what I can discern, and the impact of the National Guard in Memphis, fundamentally meaningless. It's been purely symbolic.
Anecdotally, I agree.
Yeah.
I went downtown on Friday and
I've seen no stories out there talking about the incredible impact. I have seen stories talking about the impact of the task force generally, either both positively and negatively. I've seen stories about both. I have seen no stories about the impact that the National Guard is actually making, why they are important to it, why they're doing great damage, or why they're doing great good. Honestly, from what I can tell, they're just sort of walking around and taking selfies. And that has been my experience in my interaction. So, and here's the truth. If they get this injunction that makes the National Guard up and leave, It won't, for those people who object to the work of the task force, it won't change anything. And for those people who applaud the work of the task force, as far as I can tell, it won't change anything. So this is mostly a symbolic fight over whether Bill Lee can send the National Guard. And it appears that there's a judge saying that, well, we know there's a judge saying that, at least on a preliminary basis, cannot.
I guess the only thing I would say is Sam at times has mentioned maybe the National Guard while they're not doing like the legwork, because I think there's some there's questions about whether
they're not allowed to make arrests
and whatnot. I suppose you could make the argument they are like the head coach, like they're putting the game plan together. But
I don't think they are putting the game plan together. I don't think Sam has said that. But we'll have Sam on Wednesday. I think what they're doing, the strongest argument is they do some things that liberate people to do other things. More people can make arrests because they're standing on corners or whatever else. So whatever. It appears that the National Guard, stunning decision last night. The National Guard may be out of here. Although I think there's a reasonable chance. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyway, so there was that news. Then we had the John news. Also out of here.
Yep.
We had the John news yesterday. When you heard it, grade one right calf strain reevaluated in 2 weeks. Were you fundamentally happy, fundamentally depressed, fundamentally in between?
Fundamentally quiet fist pump?
I think so.
Like I didn't sit there.
Know, I don't know that I went to a fist pump.
But I kind of gave one of these. Just like a good tight one, you know?
We do the whole, I offer you things in advance.
Yep.
If I had offered you yesterday, grade one right calf strain will be evaluated in 2 weeks, would you have taken it?
I think I would have taken it.
100%.
Now, granted, evaluated in 2 weeks, who knows what that means?
I know that.
But
it doesn't say going to be
back. We have a common injury. Ty Jerome had this, a more
serious one, though.
Right.
Grade one. Grade one is
and what
is
we're talking for Ty,
mild.
3 months? What are we going to go on, 2 months?
What has been for Ty Jerome?
Yeah, so Ty was, the last week of camp. Is that right? Do I have my timeline right?
Yeah.
So we've at least, that's 6 weeks.
Yeah, no. I 100% take this. I again, it's where we are, that the loss of your superstar, or former superstar, for at least 2 weeks is considered good news, but I consider it good news. And maybe this time we'll get a chance to get his head together, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Work on a shot.
Maybe I will say it is one of the things to me that is most disappointing about Ja Morant. There's lots of things that have been disappointing about Ja Morant. The way he has comported himself off the court, the way he has been moody and put through people through the ringer on the court. Like, there's been a lot of things. But to me, just a simple one is he should be a better shooter. Like, you see people come into the league all the time who are not great shooters when they come into the league. And then what happens? They have time to work on it. They're not going to biology class anymore. Okay, they never went to biology class. But they're not going to whatever class they would go to in college anymore at Murray State or wherever they are anymore. And so they have more time to work on the shot. All they're doing is playing basketball. They have all this time to work on their shot, and so they have great shooting coaches, and they tend to get better at shooting. You know, Jason Kidd is a perfect example of that. LeBron. Like, you're going to lose some explosiveness, but you can become a better shooter, and he has become a worse shooter. And some of that, I might say, okay, well, some of his summers have been occupied doing physical rehab.
Yep.
But remember, it used to be he would be in the dark. Remember the whole summers where he would be in, I think that thing about in the dark, working on his game?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? It was a thing early on in his
then
career.
Then he would just go live at a party in Scottsdale.
Yeah. Anyway, so he can work on a shot, he can get his head together, and be back in 2 weeks. I considered it fundamentally good news. Indeed, as the Grizzlies prepare to play San Antonio tonight on NBC, how about this?
And Peacock.
That this is a game that they flexed, that NBC flexed to take, and now they've got no Ja and no Wemby.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. How's that work out for you? Holy crap. Wemby, too, a calf, right? I think Wemby's a Correct. Calf as well. So no Wemby. Now they still have De'Aaron Fox. And
Castle's out. Harper's out.
No, yeah, Harper's out. No Castle. So I like the Grizz chances here. And I'll say this. I was at yoga last night, because you know me, hard scrabble kid from Buffalo, New York. I now do yoga. And someone came up to me afterwards and he said, so we think is it hopeless for the basketball Tigers and the Grizzlies? If someone approached you in the grocery store or wherever, probably not a yoga for you yet, what would you say if someone asked you that question?
It's not hopeless, but I'm not going to sit here and spin it and tell you that, hey, just stay the course, everything's fine. But
would you lump the answers together? Or would you answer them separately?
I think you probably have to answer them separately, because to me, the questions with the Grizzlies are health.
Which do you think I answered them definitely separately. I said all in one. I said, well, for certain and for certain. Which do you think I answered more optimistically?
Tigers, maybe because of schedule?
No. No. This is what I said. This is what I said. And again, I'm observing. I hope to be wrong, right? But what I said is, you know what? I said for the Grizzlies, I don't know. I said there's hope. Like there's hope that by the end, there will be interesting things happening this season. There could be, and there could be momentum building for the future. I was so encouraged by the return of Zach Edey, and I've been really encouraged by obviously Cedric Coward, and now Vince is kind of like, I'm like, you know what?
Maybe get some reinforcements.
They get some reinforcements back. We could start to see what this like. I can definitely see. I will even go so far as to predict good moments ahead for this team. Not, and I don't even mean where they're going to finish in the standings or whatever else. I can see, and I'm even going to predict that, you know what? Once they get this team together, so much of this is going to depend on job. But once they get this team together, we're going to be okay now. I see the vision. And if it literally just creates enough momentum to be feeling good at the end of the year and happy going into next year, I can really see that happening. And so that's what I said. I said, you know, things are grim right now for the Grizzlies, and obviously it's tough to Jaws out, but I can see some good things happening. Whereas, and this is, maybe it's recency bias from what I witnessed at FedEx Forum in person Sunday. But with the Tigers, I see misery happening. Certainly in the non-conference schedule, just unrelenting misery. Purdue's number one now, by the way, as they head down to the Bahamas. And just unrelenting.
You know what happened last time they played number one?
What did happen, Jeffrey?
Jeff, they won.
I know. So listen, maybe they get their games together and surprise us all. And then, you know what, then the other misery I see? I see the misery of a non-conference schedule, and then I see the misery of controversy around Penny Hardaway, which is just by its very nature unpleasant because he's such an icon. And so I, when asked that question about those two programs, I answered very differently. And again, I could be 100% wrong. Like I could, the Grizzlies, you could absolutely imagine the Grizzlies falling apart, John not being back, more injuries, whatever. And for the Tigers, you can imagine them getting it together, if not maybe winning two or three of these non-conference games in which they won't be favored, right? I'm not counting the New Orleans and what, Southern Illinois, is it? And
yep.
Alabama State. I mean, I'll grant them those. But let's say they can pick off two more, Mississippi State or Vandy at home or whatever. And they sort of settle themselves and then they roll through. I can see that. I'm not 100% convicted in either of those opinions, but that's my leaning. Optimism on the, some glimmer of optimism on the one hand, fretfulness about gloom ahead on the other.
Yeah, I guess what I would say, though, is we've seen three games. One I thought was pretty solid against San Francisco.
Yep.
One I thought was good.
Pretty solid against the first two games were pretty solid.
Yeah. And then we did see a horrific performance on Sunday. Last year, I would argue, was one of the most steady, like, complete seasons until the tournament. that I've ever seen Memphis have under Penny Hardaway. It still included an embarrassing what the hell game at home against Arkansas State.
When they had a very successful non-conference schedule, didn't they just get destroyed by Villanova?
Yes. Like just 45. Just, like, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I remember I was at the Grizzlies game that day, and like they were down by 50 within 10 minutes or something like that. So bad games can happen, but and Penny has sounded down on his teams before too.
Well, the difference to your point though with that Villanova game was we had seen a game against two name brands.
Michigan
and Arkansas.
Yeah.
Now granted that Arkansas team fell apart.
So did Michigan. So they, in the end that non-conference schedule looked great, but in retrospect, it sort of
it was a paper
none of these
schedule.
Teams were that good.
Yes, we are. Let them like let's say okay, they don't beat Purdue, but then they wind up beating Wake. Well, I do think like you'd come back.
That's fine. No. If they could go 1-1, I'll feel they have steadied the ship 100%. Again, it's all in front of us. So this is purely projecting because all of the story is both for the Grizzlies and for the Tigers. The story is yet to be told. It's we're only judging based on the little bits that we've seen so far, and they are relative to the entire season. They're just little bits. So I'm just my instinct is that one I'm feeling pretty good about. What I'm not feeling so good about. Okay, and then the other news we can get to the Cowboys and the NFL here in a minute, but the other news was this news over at The Athletic, and I don't know who else has reported it, that Lane has been given a deadline. Lane Kiffin has been giving a deadline that he has to let Ole Miss know what he's doing by the Egg Bowl. What did you make of that? Oh, and then the further news, and maybe you already knew this. I don't think we knew this yesterday, that the family had gone to Gainesville to check it out on a private plane, and the family had gone to Baton Rouge to check it out on a private plane. All that as reported at the very
and
least.
And video leaked at least of the Baton Rouge.
Video of the Baton Rouge one?
Yeah.
Where were they?
It was the family walking off the plane, I think, at whatever their version of signature.
When did all this come out? You're not on Twitter, so it's hard for you to...
So the ultimatum thing was starting to come out over the weekend.
When did the video come out?
Video came out yesterday.
Came out yesterday after our show.
Correct. The news of the trips, there was a first... I don't know. Neil had a report yesterday morning, and Neil and Chase, my old bosses, had a report yesterday that one trip had happened and one was planned.
So here's my question. First, I want to get to the I'll ultimately ask you about where you think this is going now that we know this. My first question is, do Ole Miss fans have a right to, and I don't know if they are. Are they outraged and do they have a right to be outraged by either at the Kiffin family for going on these trips or at the administration for giving an ultimatum?
So what I would answer your question by saying, in general, I think they're kind of like cheering on the administration, like good for you standing up for the school. Uh-huh. I think with Kiffin, it's...
Are they angry at the family going to these places?
I don't know if necessarily it's the family.
Of course, it's a million
correct.
People. The
but in general, the sentiment is, why are you embarrassing us like this? And then I think you also have to remember there's still scar tissue from the fan base from a few years ago with the Auburn pursuit and then, having his name leaked.
Yeah, my view is as follows.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Obviously, this is a massive life decision for Lane Kiffin. And very clearly, in any other line of work, this is what you would do. You would say, okay, I mean, I've had offers before. I would go to Seattle. Well, let's go look around Seattle. See what life would like in Seattle. I'll talk to the people of my job and whatever, but you guys, we have to figure out we're going to be happy in Seattle. And if they're willing to fly your wife or family out there, or husband, if the woman working is getting moving for her job, whatever it is, you should go do it. Like, this is a massive life decision. And you can say that these jobs come along all the time, but they don't actually. It's not a guarantee that LSU and Florida, jobs of that ilk, are going to be open next year for Lane. There'll be good jobs open for Lane every year because there are good jobs open all the time. But these are good jobs in the areas of the country where he would most like to work. It is only natural and totally understandable that he would and should explore them.
Yes.
Right?
Totally agree. You have no idea how his name is super hot right now. He is the number one candidate for any of these jobs. Like, if he called Penn State up and said, I want to be your coach, Penn State would change their entire...
Yeah, so this is...
How many times has that happened throughout his life? I don't know.
So it's totally natural that he do this. Now, do I also understand why it irritates Ole Miss fans? Yes, because unlike other jobs, there is this sense that you want the person who has that job of head coach to love the school as much as you do. It's a weird thing. This isn't like any other job. It's like, I want you to say that I'm going to only leave Oxford in a pine box, because I love Oxford. I love Ole Miss. I love the Rebels. Or back when John was here, I love the Tigers. Why would you possibly want to go anywhere else? You're not switching your allegiance. You've been a Tiger fan for 60 years. So you want your coach to love it as much as you do and to think this is the greatest place in the world. It's part of the mythology around college sports. The truth of the matter is, coaches are just coaches. Some of them end up in places that they would never possibly ever leave, but not most. Not most. And so, like, it's jobs, and they come to love it, and they come to love their time there, and they've built something and all of that. But could they imagine? Just like I once upon could imagine. Like, I've loved being in Memphis. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. But did I go look at Seattle? Did I go look at Minneapolis? Yeah, I did. Of course I did. You imagine something else for yourself. And then I come back to this, though. So you would like it if your coach would just say, no, I'm staying. I'm not going anywhere. I love Ole Miss. Hottie toddy. And
Wolf of Wall Street. I'm never leaving.
Never leaving. But you know what? In the end, all that matters, particularly now in the era of NIL and the portal, all that matters is whether he stays or goes. And honestly, it's true back once upon a time. It was true with Calipari. Tigers went through the same thing. Maybe people forgot with John Calipari. He would flirt with someone every year. NC State was the biggest one. Pitt was another.
Wasn't there a South Carolina flirtation? Didn't he have a drink with them?
There can be great coaches who don't do this, but a lot of them do it. If they're at a place and they're going to be pursued, and they do it for a bunch of different reasons. They do it, A, because it's fun to be pursued, because you like to imagine what life would be somewhere else, and you do it also to get maximum leverage over the school that makes you sure you get, if you stay, you get everything you possibly can. So while it was unpleasant for Memphis fans when John Calipari flirted with NC State, and while it was unpleasant and infuriating for Memphis fans when he flirted with Pitt, and when he did it a second year after doing it the previous year, there was scar tissue, and it was even more infuriating. Do we have to do this every year? We're better than that. You know what was really infuriating? When he left.
Yeah.
that was the only thing that mattered. What was really infuriating was when he left.
I love that snow cone machine.
And so what really only matters here, because again, players are recruited for 1 year now. It doesn't, like, it used to be.
Four games, maybe.
It used to be that you could say, do you really want to go to play for John Calipari? He's going to jump every year. Well, so are you. Like, that doesn't matter anymore.
Heck, you might go with him.
He might take you to a better place. Might get you more cash. The flirting doesn't hurt the program at all anymore. None. Zero. And so
I would argue the flirting doesn't hurt the team. I don't know about the program. Because the idea would be, for me, it could hurt the program if he ups and leaves and takes everything with him.
It does. Oh, yes. No.
But it doesn't hurt the specific team.
Yeah, it hurts if he leaves, but if he stays, the flirting itself doesn't hurt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No.
The flirting doesn't hurt. Oh, no, when he leaves, the whole thing can come crumbling down. So then you really, when you look through this, you really have to look at through simply the lens of, does this, the ultimatum, and the family going to Baton Rouge and the family going to Gainesville, does it seem to make it more likely that he will leave? And there, I think, again, I'm not Neil. I have no inside sources at Ole Miss. I think it does. I think it points to two things. It points to A, he really is taking it seriously. Like, he really is taking it seriously. If he's sending the family there, like, he's really taking it seriously. Family could come back and say, I love this place. My God, this is paradise. This is unbelievable. This is paradise. Have you ever been to Florida? It's unbelievably great. It's warm down here. There are palm trees and gators and stuff. So whatever, that could come back. And then the ultimatum suggests just a certain level of impatience of, okay, we've done everything we're going to do, but a certain amount of wariness on the part of, I'm purely looking at this as an outsider. The news, I will tell you, the news, when I heard those two things, made me think, oh, maybe he really is leaving.
Okay, so a few things. Number one, I agree with you on your general appearance, you know, the general view of if he leaves or if he stays, it doesn't really matter. I'm with you. I think where the Ole Miss fans, I think the frustration is not the flirting, it's the, hey, you don't have to, like, take pot shots on the way out, too. Like, on Saturday, like, he was trolling big time.
Well, he has another tweet again today about how do you know what I should do, what to do? Like, he's, like, you do not have to be as public. I understand that. John Calipari didn't either. You could do this totally quietly.
I'm not saying that any of this is new.
I think the frustration is real. But I also think that in the end, the only thing that matters is whether he stays. Unless you believe this. That the frustration and irritation with him is such that when he actually has a bad year, people are going to be quicker to turn on him, which is another reason he should go, because he's created this wellspring of.
And I don't think that's the case. I've seen this one before. This is 2022 all over again. Now, does that mean that I think he's staying? No, I have no idea. I've said I'm not in the Lane Kiffin prediction business. The other thing I would say is I would argue I think the ultimatum has been effective in this. I think up until last week, whether or not it was delusional, whether or not it was incorrect, whether or not it was right, I have no idea. I think Lane Kiffin believed he was going to be able to have his cake and eat it too. And what I mean by that was coach his playoff team and still be able to take.
Okay, so what does happen then? Let's just say Lane says, you know what?
It's a fair question.
I'm not going to tell you. Goes to him the 3 days before the Egg Bowl and says, you know what? I'm just going back and forth. I'm just not prepared to discuss this yet. I just don't know. I want to coach the team through the playoff, and then I'll take up the decision again. Are they going to fire him?
So the question would be, is pursuing another job? Because I guarantee CAA's lawyers are going to make sure that everything is legal. So do you have the grounds to sue him for cause or fire him for cause and then deal with the lawsuits that would inevitably follow? Or is it the threat of suspending Lane Kiffin and not coaching in the playoff, is that enough to motivate him?
But here's the question. Would you do it? Would you suspend him?
I think that they have a good enough relationship with Sexton that what I think happened on Friday, this is one person's opinion. What I think happened on Friday was Lane was finally notified, you're not going to be able to do this, have your cake and eat it too. And then on Saturday, because at times he can be a petulant child, he started lashing out like a petulant child that didn't get his way, and he's now coming to grips with, I've got to make a decision.
Okay, but I am just curious. Like, you can't do it, or what? I'm still back to that. Like, or what? You can't have your cake or eat, or what? We're really going to suspend you?
I think
you won't coach after the Egg Bowl?
I will say this. I don't know if this gets out and becomes as public if it wasn't a serious threat. I'm not someone that's like, I understand that there are a lot of people are going, how do the mechanics of this work? I do think this is a legitimate threat because I think Kiffin has now changed his behavior knowing that it is a legitimate threat.
Well, I'm interested in that. It would be, I mean, if you want chaos, that would be the best chaos. Literally, that he not tell them. And it's a petulant child. That's what you would do. Is if you were really a petulant child, you would say, "Really, you're going to fire me? Let's see how that works." And then, or suspend me. And so then he hasn't told them that he signed a new contract or whatever else. And so they suspend him. Oh my god. Oh my god. That would be
what a world.
What a world. All right, we got to take a break. Back in a moment. We got Chris Harrington straight up 10 o'clock. Fish on Friday on Tuesday. After that, Jeff Calkins Show on a Tuesday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
If you're looking for a new financial institution for whatever reason, car loan, home loan, Leaders Financial is the place that if I'm sending you there because I sent my wife there and she sent her kids there. And recently Claire was in there again. I said this, Conroy was buying a car with cash and he had to get hundreds. He had to get lots of hundreds out. And so he did. And Claire went into the Leaders branch. You can download the app. The app's unbelievably easy. It's just terrific. But they have a location in Bartlett and they have another in Arlington. And so she walked and she just comes out like, it feels like you're walking into a bank in the 1970s when people still were nice and customer service was customer service. That's been our experience there. Plus, and it really is no surprise because as a credit union, they don't have all these stockholders that they have to make happy. Literally every penny goes back into better rates, better customer service, better technology, all of that. Check them out yourself, leadercu.com/ESPN. Jeffrey, let's play Believe It or Not. James Franklin's going to just kill it at Virginia Tech. That also happened after we. That happened after we went off the air yesterday. The James Franklin news. We had the Lane news, and then we had the James Franklin news as well. Your thoughts?
I believe it was a good hire. My firm rule on coaching searches is trying to predict whether or not something's going to be successful is really insincere. I like to judge what was the thought process. And what the thought process from Virginia Tech was, they identified a guy that has had success recruiting in the areas that they have thrived on historically, and they've gotten a competent head coach that's had success.
Gabe made this point. I was driving around listening to Gabe yesterday, and he made this point. There's a lot of examples of coaches who've been fired from high successful coaches fired from high-level jobs, who've taken slightly lower-level jobs as on the rebound, and then flopped. The one that he talked about most vividly in his mind was Tommy Tuberville at Cincinnati, right? There's a guy who was a big name, whatever, and then he was hired at Cincinnati and was just collecting a paycheck.
Yeah, I think the only problem with that is he went to Texas Tech first, and it wasn't a flop. Like, it wasn't rousing success. Like, he is the one person, though, in that Cincinnati run that did not.
Okay, let me ask you this. Who from that template, who fits the other way? Like, name a big-time coach who was fired from a top seven job and then rebounded to do a really good job at a slightly lesser place.
I mean, Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, now he went through a different wash cycle, right? Like he
but
went
like,
through a.
I mean, the problem is,
and he was the other thing is he Lane was. I don't know. I don't know how old Lane was. You're right. Lane by going to FAU, he didn't go to Virginia Tech.
Right.
He had to start at the bottom and build himself all the way up again. And Hugh Freeze, honestly, has failed at every big level job, but he went back down and built himself back up again. It's the sort of the Mac Brown to UNC, Texas, that was back to UNC, you know, that kind of a deal.
I mean, I would argue Mac worked at UNC. He got him to an Orange Bowl. Like,
right.
Like they were.
He worked before he didn't. It was actually not a bad hire at UNC.
Correct. Like, and their last year was still 6-6.
Would you? So anyway, I think it's a really good hire for Virginia Tech. Really good hire for Virginia Tech. And the other part of this is that they liberated, evidently, some 200 and some million dollars that they're pouring in the athletic department that they were not before. Like, this is the old, well, we got to be serious, right? And so he will have much more resources than our old friend Justin Fuente did, for example, at Virginia Tech. And so I think that makes it more likely that it is successful. But on the topic of retreads, here you go. Ready? If Ryan Silverfield were to get another job and Mike Norvell would be hired and wanted to come back to Memphis, you would take him back with open arms. By the way, a lot of ifs in there.
I've struggled with this one because I'm not even trying to avoid it. I have struggled with it because I think I believe that. And the reason why I believe that is he is still young enough to where when you gave him the Memphis job, the same could still apply. Now, the difference is he will be unbelievably rich. But I still think Mike is motivated to be like at the highest level again. And this would be your chance to rebuild it, rebuild your reputation, and get another gig. And so I think that that would be enough of a motivating factor.
From both perspectives, by the way. First of all, on the unbelievably rich part, I will tell you, I was surprised that James Franklin, that they negotiated his buyout from $49 million down to $9 million. What an unbelievable break.
That was the one
Penn State.
Well, that was the one detail, I should say, that did take me by surprise.
Holy smokes, you done.
So what I wonder, I don't know what... When Bielema went to go coach at the Patriots, Bielema also had one of those offsets, and he apparently like smirkingly took a payday from the Patriots that was wildly low. And so I don't know how that lawsuit wound up. I started to wonder if James went and took a significantly below market value deal and had Penn State pay the rest, is there legal issues there, because that's not a good faith argument or not a good faith negotiation. And so I started to wonder maybe if $9 million was like the most that like.
It's very clear that the most they could get, because it's also possible that he wanted to go ahead and take the job and this was holding it up, and that we had to negotiate the buyout in order to figure out how much Virginia Tech was going to pay. And you're right. It had to be a market value deal from Virginia Tech. And so he's not going to be able to double dip in any significant way here. And that was the point of having the offsets to begin with, right?
Right.
Is the offsets right in there. The interesting thing for me is with the Norvell, first of all, it's a hypothetical for a couple of reasons. One is it doesn't seem likely now. I don't rule it out, but it doesn't seem likely now that Ryan will get another job, does it?
I would bet. If you made me guess today, I think Ryan's the coach at Memphis next year.
Right. So it doesn't seem likely he will get another job. And we don't know that Norvell will get fired. Right. So both of those things.
I almost wondered if Franklin taking this job, because whether or not the reports were 100% accurate, but most people were saying this is all based on he's waiting to see if Florida State opens.
And if Florida State's not opening.
Correct.
Right, so.
And I believe
the Ryan Mike thing next year then instead.
Yep.
Even from the Mike perspective, if you were to go to a Memphis equivalent, if you had to take another job, would you want it to be back at the old job, or would you want it to be at, you know, Tulane you're living in Florida already, you know, South Florida? Is Golish going to get another job now that he's sullied his?
I don't know.
It's funny. One of the things that some Memphis fans are doing is they're laughing at South Florida and Golish. And if you look at his record against the best teams, it's pretty feeble. One difference is that Alex Golish took over
horrific.
A one-win program.
Yes.
He unlike Ryan took something that was a rocket ship and turned it into a cargo plane. And And Golish took something that was a disaster,
a raft,
a stick raft heading down the creek and turned it into a cargo plane.
Yeah.
You know, like those are very different circumstances.
Well, I mean,
but yeah, wouldn't Mike rather go to USF?
Well, I mean, my other question is, I don't know, could Mike get Arkansas?
Could Mike get Arkansas? Would you? Here's the other question, though, is if Mike were to be hired back, again, wild eye hypotheticals, I do think it would create enthusiasm. I think it would even sell some tickets.
I agree.
How much of Mike's greatness, we talk about that staff he had, how much of Mike's greatness back then was the staff he had?
I mean, I think it is a very fair discussion. I don't think it's an unfair thing because most of those that cover Florida State believe one of the big problems is it is not a serious staff. And it turns out the staff that was here with Mike was a very serious staff.
All right. The college football rankings are going to be out tonight. And 8, 9, 10 will be Oklahoma 8, Alabama 9, and Notre Dame 10. They will be in that, or whatever, they're going to be in that order.
All right. 8, 9, and 10. So you're saying 10. Oklahoma
was. The order of the three is going to be Oklahoma, then Alabama, then Notre Dame.
Okay. I'm going to say I don't believe that.
Really? Which part?
Alabama's
got to be ahead of Notre Dame. Well, Alabama has four top 25 wins. Notre Dame beat USC.
Oklahoma's going to be the highest ranked.
100%. And then Alabama's going to be next, and Notre Dame's got to be next.
Here's the biggest problem, though. Does Alabama's able to kind of dismiss the Florida State game when they had won whatever nine in a row? Do you now have to sit there and look at the fact that these are both two lost teams? Now Alabama has a significantly better win than Notre Dame.
Alabama has a lot better wins. Notre Dame has won. Notre Dame beat USC. Alabama has four top 25 wins. It's not close.
All right, you've talked me into it.
So
I believe it.
Yeah. Okay, good. Jamar Chase got an appropriate penalty for spitting. What'd you think of the denial, by the way?
Outstanding. Tell your story.
Was that your tell the story yesterday?
No, because Paris Hilton dropped the she's self-made. That was a one-upper. What? It was the second half, right? Because I'm trying to. That was one of those games that I was not that locked in on. Like I had it in the quad box.
I've just seen the highlight. Let's be honest.
No,
I've seen the slow motion Zapruder film.
What I'm saying is, I think what we've established is
when
spitting
he was tossed.
Right, spitting gets you a game, but it's kind of like targeting where.
But he wasn't. Was he tossed then? He wasn't.
Yes,
tossed
I thought he was. No, who got tossed? Jalen Ramsey got tossed.
Jalen Ramsey got tossed. It's only the film that revealed him to be the
spitter. Yeah, and so I actually say I believe this because we've established with Jalen Carter, as long as it happened early enough in the game, because I don't think a defensive snap had been played,
right.
They viewed that
as. You think spitting is a one-game
suspension? Yeah, it's a one-game suspension.
It's got to be against the Pats, by the way. I need the Pats to lose some games, and of course he's going to miss the Pats game. Not that they would have beaten the Pats with him. So there you go. Shedeur Sanders confirmed all the bad things that people have said about him with his performance this past weekend.
I don't believe that.
Of course not.
But I'm watching this week. How seriously? Because I'm not going to sit there and go.
He gets to play the Raiders this week.
Correct. And does it look competent? Like, I'm not going to fault him for he gets thrown in there in the second half after Gabriel gets a concussion and basically looked unprepared because it also seemed like whatever the game plan was for the Ravens, once Shedeur got in there, it was just like, we are going to blitz the ever-loving hell out of him. And so, he did not handle that well.
They did.
Yes.
And they did. Well, particularly, A, he's a rookie, and then he's a rookie who holds the ball
correct.
Too long. Like, that's what he, and bails out the back of a pocket, and that's 100% what he did. The Raiders are the second worst team in the league.
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up because I was thinking about last night if the Raiders and the Giants played, what would the line be?
Well, so So, you know, some people are looking ahead to the playoffs, and God bless you if that's where you
are. No, I'm on Tankathon, baby.
I'm looking down at the bottom. And at the bottom, it's the Titans are alone at 1-9. Titans could get the number one pick for the second year in a row.
Have we had that?
What?
Has that happened before?
Don't know if it's happened before. And you would presume, now, there's not a bona fide number one quarterback in the draft this year, so you do wonder if in the end they would package that pick and move down, or
the
if
Browns,
they,
duh.
What?
The Browns, duh.
Yeah, or the problem is that, anyway, so then you've got a logjam. You got the Jets, the Giants, the Raiders, the Browns, and the Saints. That's a murderer's row of awful teams, all with two losses. Jets, Giants, Raiders, Browns, and Saints.
Okay, so the Giants have the tiebreaker over the Saints, being the reverse tiebreaker, because the Saints won the game. So the Giants the rest of the way at Detroit on Sunday, at New England, must lose game against Washington, Minnesota at home, the Raiders and the Giants play. That's a must-lose for a lot of teams involved. And then hopefully the Cowboys are fighting for a wild card in Week 18.
I've looked at projections.
Based on
a projection that takes all the schedules into account. And they predict the final draft order to be Titans first, Jets second, Giants third, Raiders fourth, Browns fifth, and Saints sixth.
All right, so the Jets have Baltimore this week on the road, Atlanta at home.
These are real. They're really a bunch of pukes.
Dolphins.
I have to
at know. Jacksonville. Saints.
Can you imagine? Okay, I want to flip it around. Ready? Here you go. The Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs.
All right, so who are the teams in front? So the only team
right now in the AFC, and it's really fascinating. Right now, the Pats, the Broncos, the Colts, and the Ravens are the projected. People are projecting this computer to be your division winners, okay? They got two games against the Steelers left. They're going to catch the Steelers. Steelers stink. Aaron Rodgers. Is Rodgers going to play or not?
So he is a broken wrist. He's going to miss some time. I don't know how much time. Like,
so then your wild card.
It's on his offhand.
Bills, Chargers, Raiders. Those are your projected wild card teams. And then right outside, the Chiefs, the Steelers, and the Texans.
Okay, so the teams in front of them. So I'm going to say I don't believe the Chiefs are missing the playoffs.
I don't believe they're
going to miss. Because the only team that they don't have a chance to beat that is in front of them is the Jaguars. Because they played once and the Jags won.
Jags won.
So they will have.
That's why the Jags are projected to be ahead of the Chiefs, because they've got the tiebreaker.
Right. But the Chargers, they've played once. And now the Chiefs will get them at home, presumably in cold, miserable weather. And then they still have the Texans left on the schedule.
Texans are out. They've got to catch. If you're looking at wild card teams, they have to catch either the Bills, the Chargers, or the Jags.
Well, unless so we're bumping out the Steelers for the Ravens.
Yeah, if you put the Ravens down there, then you put the Steelers a division winner. Then you got to catch the. Then you'd have to catch the Ravens. No,
I'm still saying
catch,
I don't.
I think they'll make it, but it's tricky because one of the teams they would have to catch
has.
I mean, they got to beat the Chargers game. They got to win that Chargers game.
Correct.
And they don't have the tiebreaker against the Jags.
Correct.
Or the Bills.
I still don't trust the Jaguars.
All right. If you're selling your house, Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty is the folks to contact. And I literally was just out and about. I was talking to another realtor over the weekend, and he said, yeah, I hear you're doing those Josh Heisa spots. He's great. He really is a high producer. And high producer, you know what that means? It means he sells houses. That's what it means. It means he can sell your house. And he can do it the old-fashioned way, or he will come to your home and give you a instant cash offer. And let's be honest, in this market, as tricky as it is, that's awfully tempting. And unlike one of the folks from out of town who probably sending you texts and calls and robocalls and whatever, those folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.